It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to continue with the 25th verse today. So glad that you're able to join us and just look forward to the study that we have. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Love for you to take a look at it. We've got many studies there. I hope that it'll help you to come to know Jesus and then have you grow as well. And so we pray that it be a blessing to you. Also, if you'd like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com. or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Now we're going to stop there with that 30th verse today and enjoy this study, a wonderful study. And let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, thank you that we have an opportunity to enjoy this wonderful study of your precious word. It's such a blessing to be able to read and study it. And then also, Father, it's a tremendous blessing to teach it. And I thank you for that opportunity. And I ask, Father, that so many that we have that's listening, that they hear your words, Father, not mine, but your words. They'll touch their heart, change their lives, and make you more like you, dear Father, please. I just thank and praise you that the day that we get saved, the day that we come by faith to you, is a day that the Holy Spirit comes to abide within our hearts, and we begin that wonderful walk each and every day. Thank you, Father. Just bless us now. Use this precious study to your honor and glory, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This 25th verse, as we have kind of visited and enjoyed the time with it, it tells us that, all in a nutshell, I guess, that we should not ever end up in the civil court. And we should always try our best to resolve any kind of controversy that we have with anyone. We should try to resolve it to the best of our ability before it ever gets into the court system, because there we find that our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, is not ever glorified through a court battle. And many times through those things we say things and things happen and that just are not a blessing to anyone. And so it all sums up with the best, and that is that resolve it. And even while you're on the way, if you can't get it resolved and you're on the way, why, then it says do everything you can do, because it's going to cost you an awful lot. And if it comes out against you, it's going to cost you an awful lot more than if you'll make it right here and now. So it's so important that we understand that, and never should two Christians ever end up against each other at court. Sometimes the world, we end up there. We shouldn't. We don't like to. We don't want to. God's not glorified through it. We just get our way. Boy, it's sad. I'm going to sue you. It's going to work. Please don't do that. God's the one that blesses. And please just ask Him for the power and the strength and the wisdom to walk each day serving and praising Him, not trying to get even or equal with someone. But definitely never should two believers in the Lord Jesus Christ ever end up in the civil court. It should be resolved through the two of them, by the pastor, by the church, the mature church members coming together to resolve whatever this problem is. But it should never get into the court system. This should not happen. Got a couple of verses of Scripture here that we're going to look up. Matthew 18:21. Matthew 18, verse 21. Kind of help you a little bit here, maybe. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times." Verse 22. And the question Peter said, "Till seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I say not until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Okay, so I have to forgive him 490 times. No, that means seven is a number of perfection or completeness. So that means you just keep forgiving him. That's the heart and the spirit that we should have. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians. 6. Starts with verse 5. "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is no wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brethren goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." It's saying very clearly, why do you ever come before a civil court, unbelievers, to figure out what's wrong, when you should take care of it with yourself within the church body? And so it's very, very important. If forgiveness doesn't come, somebody goes to jail. That's what it's talking about here. "Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Just resolve it. Take care of it. Please. Don't let it get that far. Why do you think that the world, the old world, unbelievers, can make a fair judgment call when you can't resolve it yourself as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, just think about what that says and means. Verse 27, you've heard that it's said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If we come back to verse 17 and 18 of the same chapter, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And so what the Lord Jesus is explaining over here is, he is coming in this 27th and 28th verse. He's not saying just the very act of adultery is wrong. But he said, I want to show you your mind, your heart. I want to show you really how evil you actually are, and that you need the Lord Jesus. You need salvation to get victory over this. And so it's showing not only that Jesus further illustrates that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, and how unable that you and I are to do that. We cannot by any means, because, and as it says here, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her commit adultery with her already in his heart. And then it comes, it goes on a little bit further here with the, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish instead of having to face hell with your whole body. It is just, the Lord Jesus is explaining that just really, really how wicked we are. And that we know without a question that we're a sinner. Because if we can hold ourselves back from the act, but we can't control our mind and what our heart desires, which is the natural things, he's saying, you need Jesus. Because he has fulfilled all of that. He did not look upon a woman to lust after her. He did not commit adultery. He did not do this. He did not. He was perfect. But he's showing us here how imperfect we are. Let's look back at a couple of verses of Scripture. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Both of them are right there. Thou shalt not kill in verse 13. Thou shalt not commit adultery in verse 14. And then if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18, thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery. Same thing that we just read back in Exodus 20, 14, 13 and 14, and again Deuteronomy 5, 17 and 18. You see, Jesus looks beyond the physical act of the outside. He looks to the heart. He looks right down to the heart. And the desires that we have, not just the act itself. Once again, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, a lustful heart. Lust here is evil desires in general. The natural man will automatically entertain evil. The natural man will automatically entertain evil. Automatically. Man is born totally depraved. And the natural man does not desire to change, does not desire things that are righteous and holy, has no desire of those things. Before you can have a desire to change not only maybe your actions, but also your thoughts, ye must be born again. The Holy Spirit must come into your heart through this wonderful miracle of the new birth. And then the heart, the mind begins to change. And you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not until then. A lot of people believe that their life is, you know, I can control these thoughts. I can control these ways. You can control maybe your physical actions so you don't physically carry these thoughts out. But you can't change your heart. You cannot change your thoughts. And here, this word lust brings a sexual desire. That's what it comes to. And so the primary definition of this word lust here is a sexual desire. Jesus makes it very plain that just as one can be guilty of murder without firing a gun or shedding another's blood, just by hatred, or in this case, the adultery it's talking about, just the thought that's there. It's also possible for a man to be guilty of adultery without taking another man's wife. So when we look at this, we need to understand who we are, how guilty we are, and the Word of God's purpose for that, so that it shows us that we can't just control an urge or an action that is on the outside, because we have to change the heart. Now, we talk about being born again. We talk about salvation. We talk about being saved. And many people take that very lightly. They think that since I was, you know, I go to church and I was born into what we call a Christian family, I work in the church, everything is fine. I need to help you with that. Because there is a time in every person's life, probably multiple times, but at least once, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes through the Word of God, through many things. God can use many, many things to show you who you are, and then open that opportunity up to have you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. But that is something that takes place at a given time, on a given day. You aren't just always been saved. There is no way that you can meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and not know that time and day. Now, you may not know it June 5th, 1972, 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening. You may not know those specific times and places. But wherever you were, whenever you were, you will know that time. It is a definite time, a definite change in your life from being dead in your trespasses and sins and set free. And you begin for the first time by because you have a will to do so with the Holy Spirit abiding in your heart. Now you have a will that desires you to change and has the power and the strength to do so. So, understand that if one looks upon a woman with a lustful desire, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Understand as well that a woman may not have had any part of that because she didn't know that was going on in that man's heart. At the same time, she could have had something to do with that by her dress, what she put on. Did she draw attention to herself, wanting people to have these desires? So you see, it can be both, or it could be and can be just the man. The man who looks upon a woman, it's one thing to see someone that is very pretty and enjoy that beauty. But it doesn't turn into lustful thoughts. Now, if you're not saved, that's really the only thing that can turn into. And the longer you look, the more those thoughts are present. But for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the look is not a problem. It's the continual look. There's the problem. And it can be the same with a lost person. If you look and appreciate the beauty, God made woman, God made man. There's a beauty there. And to appreciate that, there's nothing wrong with it. But if it looks, if you continue to look, continue, instead of just enjoying, realizing the beauty and then look away, if you continue, it can turn in to the very thing we're dealing with here. Let's look at 2 Peter, see what Peter has to say about this. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 14. It says, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. It just continues. And so we see what the heart, having eyes full of adultery, that's what it's talking about, that constant look. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. They come from within. We must be born again. And then the change begins. You still have that flesh, but for the first time in our heart, we have one that can guide and lead us away from those things and those thoughts. Back to Matthew chapter 5. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Please don't let it get into the court system where no one but unbelievers are your judges. And then we've discussed verse 27 and 28, how that comes from the heart, and it's very natural for natural man to have that, to do that. That's the way we are. We're sinners, born in sin. Some people want to know what their bloodline is, you know, where they're from. Well, I can tell you where you're from. Your bloodline is sin. Your bloodline is from Satan. And it's polluted. It's corrupt. And there's only one way that you can change it. And that is by faith in Jesus Christ. To be born again. The example in verse 29 and 30 concerning the right eye and the right hand. As a whole, most people use their right side. They use their right foot more. They use their right hand more. They use their right eye more. It's hard to imagine that that's the case with the eyes, but it is. And with the right side is more prevalent and used more than the left side. So the reason that God chose in His Word through the Gospel of Matthew, through the writer of Matthew here, to express it and say your right eye and your right hand is because it's what you use the most. It is, in many cases, the most powerful, the most used, so it'll be the most missed. But it is much more important to take care of this problem. And the only resolve of this problem is to come by faith to Jesus. Come by faith to Jesus. This is the only way you can resolve this problem. You could have a problem with something you do with your hands or with your eyes and say, I'm just going to pluck them out because that way that problem's not going to exist. Your heart's still going to be evil. The point here is that it's better for you to lose an eye or a hand than it is to wake up in hell. So the only way this can be resolved is for you to come by faith to Jesus. Not to carry out with this action here, but you have to come by faith to Jesus. And a lot of people refuse to be born again because they are afraid of what they're going to lose. They're going to lose this freedom to go here and go there. And boy, I'm going to have to start acting right and stop drinking, stop running around. I'm going to have to go to church all the time. I just don't want to give up my life. Well, that's the purpose of this. Because you're going to wake up in hell. And it would be better to lose something super important to you here and now, or what you think is super important. It would be better for you to lose that than to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Every person that's ever lived spends eternity somewhere. Either in the lake of fire that burns forever, agony and pain, or in the presence of Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?